Gospel quartet lead singer turned soloist, understanding the dynamics and what it takes to keep the show on the road with Ryan Seaton today.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Ryan Seaton's with me, and I love this guy's voice. Lead singer, and we've followed his career through several quartets already, and now doing the solo thing, which I still look at guys who have been with groups and now soloists, and I think, my goodness, what a bold undertaking that is, because you understand one thing, standing up there with other guys and knowing you can kind of have people to fall back on, but then when you're by yourself, it's kind of like, okay, if the joke flops, you have nobody else to look to. And Ryan's learned that and done very well with it. And we've got a new project that's been out now for, well, I guess a little while. His debut project was The Stage is Bare, and he's with us to talk about it. So, Ryan, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
You know, I always like doing this, going all the way back to in the beginning. Was Indiana where you were born and raised?
Yes, it was. Evansville, Indiana.
So you're still there in your old hometown.
Still there.
All right. Well,
love it.
So
all
what
my family's here.
So what is it about Evansville that kind of keeps you there and not moving around the country?
Well, you know, and some might differ with me, but I love the fact that it's you've got somewhat of a city feel, but you can still live in areas that still have a more of an out in the country kind of feel, and you don't have, you know, 6 lanes of traffic and but yet you can take your wife out on to a nice dinner, you know, on the weekend. So that's, and plus, like I said, both of our families are here, and with our kids, that, you know, with me traveling and Krista working, just helps out to be around family and friends. So that's why.
And that's cool that you'd say that after doing as much traveling as you have done. Now, when I was a kid and I had not done hardly any traveling, I said the same thing about my hometown. It was big enough to have stuff, but, you know, small enough not to have to deal with so much traffic, and you could get away and live in a home out in the country if you wanted to. And that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So at what age did you or your parents, or I mean, did you start noticing that you really got into music more than the average person?
Well, I'll tell you what, my mom, and you probably heard the story too. Growing up, my mom was always singing. The first time I can remember, you know, being on stage with her, I think I was around 7, and we had practiced a song for about a couple weeks before the service, and it just came to me easy. The melody came to me easy. And so we sang it, and really from then on, you know, it's not like I sang every Sunday or nothing, but, you know, just started enjoying it more and more and more. And then once I got, you know, in middle school and high school, I really didn't step out on, you know, on stage. I kind of stayed back in the back always, but by junior year, I finally said, I want to sing something. So they gave me a singing part in a musical, and really from then on, I lost my stage fright, and then the rest is history, I guess.
And we're going to talk more about Ryan's history and where he's going, and even some new things down the road for Ryan. But of course, the project we're listening to is The Stage is Bare, and it's Ryan Seaton here on Daniel Britt and Fred.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior,
all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Oh, oh, angels descending, yeah, yeah, ring from above. Oh, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh yeah.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm going to go ahead and make the disclaimer now that if I slip up and call you Ryan Seacrest, I apologize. I don't know why. I have the hardest time. If I see Seacrest on TV, I think Seton. And if I see you in the music world, and I think Seacrest, I don't know, it's just similar names. Do you get that from anybody else?
Every once in a while, I get that, and I also get Pat Boone and Ben Affleck. I don't know. It's a variety of people that they think I look like.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, the name similarity, I think, does it for me. But Ryan has the Stage is Bare project, and that's what we're listening to today. Hey, I want to kind of jump into home life there in Evansville. If I were to walk into your home right now, and we were to sit in your living room, and we'd say, hi, Ryan. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing? Doing okay. Okay. I'd look around your living room. What's one thing that would probably kind of jump out at me as being probably the most interesting object that's in your living room?
Oh, Lord.
What would I ask about?
It's a pretty plain Jane living room. Obviously, if you walk into my office, you'll see the billboard plaques and the Gaither RIAA certified gold sales thing.
Yeah.
Krista made me up a little thing, collage thing for my debut record. That's pretty cool. So a lot of people come in here that friends from college that Krista had that come here that, you know, Krista, you give them the tour of the house and they'll ask about those and the Dove Awards and the Grammy stuff. So that's probably the most interesting room is our office.
Yeah. Yeah. And those things they're always eye catching because it seem to be full of history and, you know, the whole, do you get into awards when you're doing this stuff and you get the nominations and you get the awards? Is it a source of excitement for you to think, wow, people really are recognizing this and it's a cool honor?
Yeah, and I think anybody who says they don't is secretly lying. Because, I mean, we're human you want to be appreciated and recognized for your work. And I think that goes with any job across the board. I was watching a show. It's called Undercover Bosses.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah, and it's just it's these big corporations and the owners actually go undercover to work with their employees, and the employees have no idea who they are. Well, it's really nice to see at the end, because at the end of the show, obviously, they, you know, the boss walks in and they're like, are you kidding me? That, I didn't know that was you. And, you know, I watched one yesterday where the employee fired his boss.
Oh, wow.
The boss was trying to work with, it was at the Chicago or the Wrigley Field. He was with some bathroom cleaners, and he just couldn't get the job done. He actually got fired. So, but you know, just to be recognized and to know that people enjoy what you do, it's a good feeling. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often for me. So when it does, we get all into it.
That's cool. Well, The Stage Is Bare is the project that we're listening to, and you've got it here on Daniel Britt and Friends with Ryan Seaton.
He brings the rain to a dry and thirsty place, and the shade in summertime. The morning night of peaceful sleep, from sunrise to sunset, he gives all that we need. His love is deeper than the ocean is wide. His love is stronger than the sun that shines so bright. We'll keep on trying, but it's hard to describe in the way that he deserves. His love is deeper and stronger than words. Angels didn't know how far he'd go to show his mercy and his grace. A bed of hay, a cross and borrowed grain, not fit for the Savior, but willingly he came. His love is deeper than the ocean is wide. His love is stronger than the sun that shines so bright. We'll keep on trying, but it's hard to describe in the way that he deserves. His love is deeper and stronger than his love is deeper and stronger than words.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. The Stage Is Bare is the title of the CD, but obviously when you go hear Ryan sing, the stage is not bare. He's there, very much so. And how tall are you? Because that's one thing people notice when they see you is you're a tall guy, must be into basketball, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm about 6'5".
Yeah.
So, yeah, not the average singer, I guess.
Well, but you know, when you go back and look through quartets, there are quite a few of the lead singers who were quite tall and kind of this presence on stage.
Definitely helps to be a vocal point.
Exactly. Well, when you take the stage solo, what's the most uncertain part of that night for you? I mean, do you know where you're going from A to Z, but then you've got this one part of the program you're just going to feel it out, or is the whole thing kind of like that?
Well, you know, I have to say the first year and a half of doing this, I pretty much went on stage knowing exactly what I was going to do, what I was going to sing, what I was going to say. But you know, the more you do it, and this, you know, I'm sure this has been said before, but the more you do it, you know, the easier, not necessarily the easier it gets, but the more you can depend on God just kind of taking over and just allowing you to be yourself. And, you know, that was a big thing, because talking was just something I never did on stage. So I'm finally, slowly but surely, getting to a point to where I can go on stage, and besides having a set list, you know, pretty much every artist has a set list, but I can pretty much open my heart up and not worry about having to say the exact thing that I said the night before. So it's becoming a lot of fun.
So let's go back to, and I'm just going to throw this out, and you can tell me if this was the first group or if there was somebody before it, but the Melody Boys Quartet is part of your history, right?
That's right. I was with Gerald and Mike and Jeremy for about, it was a short stint, but about 8 months from, I think, starting in January 2003. I was really blessed to be able to start with a group of guys that were very classy. And Gerald, being in the business for so long, I was a sponge to him. Mm-hmm. And I took in, he wasn't just knowledgeable as far as the business goes, but vocally he was very knowledgeable. And so I just, everything he said, I clung on, you know, I hung on to, and very, very appreciative for what he did for me in my career.
Was that the first group that you traveled with?
Yes. Yep. My dad, I was working for a construction company at the time, and which is kind of an oxymoron, me and construction, but my dad, unbeknownst to me, sent Gerald and Mike a demo that I had created and cut, and dad called me one day during work, said, "Hey, we're going to go to Arkansas this weekend, and you're going to audition for a group called the Melody Boys Quartet." I was like, "Oh."
Wow. Well, and, yeah. And you know, it's always that kind of jump right there that it can catapult you, and it did for you, into the gospel music scene, into the professional scene. I guess it's interesting that your story didn't start out singing in church and then singing in church groups and then traveling in this group and that group and then trying to just make ends meet. And then next thing you know, you finally get noticed. It was kind of like, boom, you just, and really you, I'm not saying you didn't work, but, you know, you kind of didn't have to do all the work. Your dad kind of went and did it for you behind your back. That's kind of cool.
Right. Well, you know, and I said, you know, just last, this past Saturday from stage, you know, I've heard so many stories from other artists, you know, having to travel in a, you know, a van or a Lincoln Continental you know, and travel hours and hours and hours on end and, you know, get up and set up a concert and sing in front of 25 people. And I was very blessed. It was a kind of like a right place, right time kind of thing. So definitely feel blessed about the path my career has been able to take.
Ryan Seaton is with us here, and The Stage is Bare is the name of the project that we're listening to. Some great cuts on here and some cool sounds that, you know, he's able to bring his individuality out on. And I think you're finding that here. As we're talking and listening, Ryan Seaton on Daniel Britton and Friends.
Standing at the crossroad with a long and winding road, cuts across the straight and narrow way. I know which way to turn, I know exactly where to go. 'Cause the Lord is with me every single day.
He's right beside me.
And when times get hard, as He led me all alone, He's right beside me.
He's right beside me.
And when I'm weary and all my strength is gone, He takes my hand. Over me every day. He's watching what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's up there, and He's looking out for me.
Someone.
Every now and then feel a little bit like Daniel, trapped inside a lion's den. And at the darkest hour, when it's more than I can handle, someone comes and rescues me again. Is it coincidence or just a love that shines my way? I don't believe it, no. I recognize His hand in everything I see, and in every way He blesses me. He watches over me every day. He watches what
day I know that someone's up there, and he's looking out for me. Someone patient when I struggle, he's there when I'm needy, watching our world. Over me every day. He watches what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's out there, and he's looking out for me. He watches over me every day. He watches what I do and what I say. Every minute of the day I know that someone's up there, and he's a-looking out for me.
So Ryan Seaton's with me on Daniel Britt and Friends, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Melody Boys days, when you were the Melody Boys Quartet. This is your first shot at professional singing and traveling with a group, and as you said, you were a sponge to Gerald there in the group. So what were some pretty noticeable changes that you made with your, you know, either in your singing or just in your approach and your thinking of, I mean, was there kind of night and day difference between day one with them and maybe even day 30 or day 90?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in singing, to me, it's all about placement and where you, how you sing a certain note or say a certain word. And Gerald was in breathing. It was crazy. Gerald would do exercises where he would lay down on the, on a couch and put a book on his stomach and just breathe in and out real hard and just to expand his breath. And, so yeah, you know, going into, I'd never sang in a quartet, you know, and singing lead, you know, you're, now the Melody Boys, they didn't sing songs as high as, you know, let's say I did with Signature Sound, but, it was at that time, it was really the range. It was perfect for my range. And the more I did it, that, you know, the better my range got. And, the more Gerald was willing to teach me, you know, the easier it became. You know, day one, I can remember, you know, getting done with the first show and just feel like someone just, you know, punched me in the throat. You know, but it's, you know, it's just like any kind of other sport. You know, you do it so many times, it's like a muscle. Yeah. You know, the stronger it gets, the more stamina you have. So definite change. Probably in the first 2 to 3 months doing show, you know, doing three shows a weekend.
Wow.
You know, you just get used to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, definite change.
And then the days came when Signature Sound called, and you were a part of this group through some I won't say some major changes, but through through personnel changes, but through changes as far as rising to the top of the field. I mean, you guys were, I mean, it was just an incredible thing to watch happen. And from the early, early days, I remember sitting up and taking notice. And you guys played as a team, and I think what you were talking about there with the sports analogy comes in probably more often than people realize in the quartet world. Would you agree?
Oh, I would. You know, if you don't have everybody on the same page and working to the greatest of their ability, then like you've heard before, you know, you're only as good as your weakest link. So, you know, a team aspect, especially in a quartet, and it goes off the stage too. You know, when you're on the bus and you're having to be around your guys, you know,
right,
24 hours on end,
right,
you got to learn how to detect when somebody is, you know, a little off that day. You know, you either learn how to stay away from them, or you learn how to sit down and talk to them.
Yeah,
you know, so a team aspect is a great way to look at it, is if especially when you're in a quartet.
Ryan Seaton is with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends, and the project that we're listening to is The stage is bare. But we're going to be talking about some other things coming around the corner as well here in just a moment with Ryan Seaton.
A song coming on. It starts in the heart and moves to the feet. Till I'm tapping my toes to a heavenly beat. Sit back and hold on. I feel a song coming on. There's music in the hope I feel. The peace I find and love that's real. It's the laughter you cannot keep inside. There's joy that sneaks across my face to think of God's amazing grace. So this melody of a life can't be denied. I feel a song coming on, a song coming on. It starts in the heart and moves to the feet. Till I'm tapping my toes to a heavenly beat. Sit back and hold on. I feel a song coming on. Let's go, boy. Come on, I know you feel it too. It's there somewhere inside of you in the rhythm of the many ways you're blessed. It's the sunrise of another morn. It's the miracle of life newborn. It's the happiness that's pounding in your chest. I feel a song coming on, a song coming on. It starts in the heart and moves to the feet. Till I'm tapping my toes to a heavenly beat. Sit back and hold on, hold on. Hold on, sit back and hold on. I feel a song coming on.
As we're talking about your solo work and your days with various quartets, and we got to look at what Signature Sound. We've got a couple of members who have left Signature Sound, and now they have kind of branched out and have been embraced or are helping to develop a new quartet or new quartet sound. Even one is Tim Duncan and what he's doing over with Canton Junction, and another is something you've got coming down the pike with some very talented singers, most of which have been involved with other quartets in their history as well, and something called Union Street, right?
Yes.
So how was this idea birthed? I mean, you're doing your solo thing. Did you just have this thing in the back of your mind all along that you'd like to kind of keep an open mind to a quartet, or did it just happen?
I mean, honestly, I had no plans of doing anything with any kind of quartet, really. Once you come, for me, you know, I felt like I came from the cream of the crop, and I really wanted to do something different and not just go directly into another quartet. Now, saying that, I always have a passion for quartet music. The thought of four guys on stage singing, harmonizing, to me, it just doesn't get any better. But I knew, coming from where I came from, I had to choose a different line. But no, really, I had no plans of starting anything. I was doing a show in my hometown, and I just thought it'd be nice to put together a group just for that evening, as a surprise. Didn't have anybody in mind. I knew of Andrew Goldman, who sings baritone for us, and called him up and said, "Man, this is what I'm trying to do. Would you be interested?" and he jumped on the bandwagon. And then my oldest brother was good friends with Toby Hitchcock's wife, who sings tenor for us. And he'd been trying to get me to meet up with Toby and hang out with him. And finally we got the chance to, and we hit it off as friends the first time we met. And then I just mentioned to him, said, man, I'm trying to do this for a show I'm doing. Would you be interested? And he said, yeah, man, I'm always looking for stuff to do like that. And then, you know, then it came down to the bass part, which was not as easy because, you know, a bass part is crucial for a quartet, I feel.
Right.
I really wanted to find some guys around here so it would be easier to, you know, if we wanted to get together and rehearse or, you know, whatnot. We could all get together pretty easy. And Andrew happened to bring up Aaron's name, and we come to realize that he just lived about 45 minutes from us.
Oh, wow.
So
Aaron McCune, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron McCune. And we got together and rehearsed, and first time we practiced, you know, we kind of all just kind of stopped after the first song and was like, are you serious right now? I mean, because, you know, typically, you know, it takes some time to develop a sound and a blend.
Right.
And
right.
That just shows the level of talent that's really in this group, that they can, you know, they understand that. And so, yeah. I really had no plans. It just kind of came together, and we did our first show, and it people went absolutely crazy. So since then, we've kind of been stepping it up a little bit, and we finally came up with a name. Early on, we were just using my name, which, you know, I knew I didn't want to roll with that. It took us forever to find one, but finally came up with something. We wanted something new and unique, and still personally for us.
And you guys have a new project you're working on, and you'll be watching for more news to come out of Union Street, because they really are a dynamite group, and you guys have been kind of taking it slow, and I think a very methodical way, and getting some mentoring and some coaching from other people.
Absolutely.
Just to make sure that you're not jumping in this thing too naive or too quickly, I guess.
Yeah absolutely. You know, most of the guys still work. Andrew just graduated college, so and I'm still obviously doing my solo thing. So sometimes scheduling can be difficult. So we just sat down one night and we said, you know, listen, this is what we can do. This is what we can commit to, and it's going to be different for fans because, really, as a typical fan, you can go see anybody you want pretty much anytime, you know. So just asking our fans to bear with us. And I mean, I don't know that we'll ever be a group that's traveling 150, 160 days a year or more.
Right.
Because most of us, besides Andrew, we all have kids. And now that I've been home for the past 3 years, I've realized just how much I missed being at home.
Yeah.
And I want my other guys to experience that. And most of them have newborns. My kids are actually the oldest. So I want them to be home and to get to go to recitals and graduations and,
yeah,
you know, just all that kind of stuff.
Cause exactly,
it's important to me. So I want them to know that that's the most important thing. I heard Bill Gaither say, I hope I get this right. I think Jake had told him this, but he said, when the lights are glowing more on stage for you than they are at home, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
So a lot of groups say this, but I truly mean it, that I want our families to stay together, and I want this group to stay together.
Ryan Seaton, and you'll be watching for news on Union Street coming out. Right now we're featuring some songs from Ryan's solo project titled The Stage is Bare. You can find it at ryanseaton.com. We'll talk about home life next here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
When they placed you in my arms, my knees went weak. You stole my heart, never gave it back to me. I watched you grow up right before my eyes. close, 'cause I realized, and I can't hold back time, no matter how hard I try. And soon enough for me, you have to learn how to fly. Dream your dreams, wish upon a star, go on and spread your wings. But remember who you are, wherever you go, no matter how far. Special place in my heart, your daddy's little girl. Today I watch you making daisy chains, and I dread the day you wanna change your name. It's gonna be hard letting go. It's alright with me if you just take it slow. Remember what I taught you, and don't let it slip away. And don't forget the place you wanna make it to someday. Star, go on and spread your wings, but remember who you are, wherever you go, no matter how far, you know you'll always hold that special place in my heart, your daddy's little girl. To kneel beside your bed, that Bible that I gave you, live by what it says. If you wanna dream your dreams, wish upon a star, go on, spread your wings, but remember who you are. Your daddy's little girl.
Always be a little girl, Daddy. I love you, Daddy.
Ryan Seaton, and you're listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Ryan, let's talk about your wife, Krista. You guys have been sweethearts for quite a while, right?
Yeah, she's pretty much owned me since I was about 12. I guess I don't always like to admit that, but it's just the facts of the matter. No, she came to, she moved out to Posey County, when we were in sixth grade, and she, actually lived right behind a good friend of mine, and they became friends. So when they, the summer before sixth grade, they were, by the time sixth grade started, they were best friends. So, when she came to school, the first day I went up to Amber and I said, "Amber, who is this girl you brought?" So, we dated off and on in high school. We were actually prom king and queen our senior year. And,
that's funny. And
you know, she went off to college and, you know, I went to work and, you know, we had our own relationships, but, at the end of the day, I'll just say God brought us back together. And it was what I wanted for a long time, and I just had to convince her that it's what she wanted as well. So,
yeah, right.
It finally worked out.
And how many kids do you have?
We have two girls, Olivia, who is six, and Ella, who is five, and they'll both be Ella will be in kindergarten this year, and Olivia will be in first.
Wow. Yep. And, you know, Chick-fil-A has been in the news a lot lately, but primarily Chick-fil-A is in the news on my news feeds because I hear sometimes Ryan Seaton is the cow.
Oh, yeah.
Because of your wife's position in the company.
Yeah, she's a marketing director for a store here in Evansville. And, you know, being home the last 3 years, she was sick and tired of me sitting around the house. And she just basically said, I'm going to need you to come to work, and I'm going to need you to be the cow today. So it's a funny story. I stay from stage and, you know, going from singing all over the world to singing, you know, sitting 3 feet from the president at one time and wow. You know, traveling with Bill Gaither and all the vocal band and all those wonderful artists. So going from that to a cow was a bit of life-changing stuff there.
Well, let's talk about the cow for a minute. I mean, does your size have anything to do with that? I mean, would it have any problems? You're 6'5", so...
no, I'm just a really tall cow.
A really tall cow, that's right.
Yeah, and sometimes it's scary for the kids, but, you know.
Do you do any of the stuff out on the sidewalks and streets of dancing and really getting your move on?
Really, what she had me do was kind of like more inside events and stuff like that. Now, there are kids that, just like now, they're opening a downtown location. It's going to be like a walk-up kind of thing there in downtown Evansville. And they've had the cow down there in this 100-degree weather.
Oh, my.
You know, but they're 16, 17-year-old kids that, you know, they don't care.
Yeah,
and
they're having fun.
I'd probably pass out and die right there on the street. But you wouldn't believe it, but it gets really hot inside that thing, I tell you.
Well, you know, Ryan Seaton, quartet man, soloist, lead singer, and an occasional cow. You know, just add it to your resume. It can only make people smile. Ryan, let me talk about how the future is going to look, because I know you talked about the quartet that you're gearing up to really get on the road is Union Street with these guys. And you guys may not be the most hard-hitting quartet as far as tour dates goes, but you're obviously keeping a steady schedule of your solo dates. You're balancing that with home life, balancing that with the future of the quartet. What do you think what does gospel music look like for you personally, you know, in 10 or 15 years? Do you think the landscape is changing some, whether you're talking about the recording side of things or the touring side of things? Are we looking at a more maybe relaxed pace for you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, especially with all of the avenues that you have now, with social media and you know, all this other kind of stuff, you know, there's ways of, you know, not having to do as much on the road, and you can do it in the comfort of your own home to keep your name out there and to, and obviously it's my passion to sing. And, you know, as a soloist, one of my biggest feats is promoters and churches just saying we really only bring in groups, you know, so it can get difficult at times and trying, because here I am trying to do what I feel like God has called me to do. And, you know, sometimes friends and fans don't understand it. You know, why don't you come to Michigan? Why don't you come to Texas? Well, you know, you kind of have to be invited first. So, but it, you know, God's still blessing me and allowing me to go pretty much anytime I want to go, you know, and as much as I want to go. And I feel like, you know, with the group, like you said, we're just taking it really just a day at a time and not really reaching out at this point. Everything that we do is through people contacting us. So that's a good sign when, you know, you're not even out there with a booking agent, you know, calling, you know, 100 churches a day, and you're still getting calls to people wanting to book you. And that's basically just through social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So
that's great.
That social media stuff is really helpful.
Yeah, it's here to stay. I don't think it's a fad.
Oh, sure. I don't see it going anywhere.
to say, your home is where your heart is. My heart believes it's true, and my home so far away. But the seasons and the scenery keep changing, so I make my home with you till I'm finally home to stay. This journey I'll remember, many faces are so dear, they can always bring a smile. But no matter where I am or where I'm going, in my heart
the kids, with life in Evansville, and listen, we've all faced our own struggles in this economy. Mm-hmm. But here's a question: when the economy tanks, where does it hit you first? What do you find yourself having to give up when money gets tight? Weekly ice cream social, or what?
Yeah, we have really, and we've just tried to make this more or less not just when the economy is bad, but we more of life just changing life. When I was traveling, you know, 150, 160 days a week, you know, you get home and you know, I didn't want Chris to have to cook. You know, I wanted to take her out. I wanted to take the family out. And, you know, so we were eating out pretty much 3 to 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, once my time with Saint Sound was done, and, you know, we really had to, because basically, you know, I was starting over, and a lot of people knew my face, but they associated me with a quartet. So when I call a church, I say, "Hello, this is my name. My name's Ryan Seaton. I used to sing with Saint Sound." They're like, "Who?" So unfortunately, I've really had to start over. And, you know, we've kind of had to look at our lives, the way we were living, and how budget wise, and kind of had to start over some different ideas about how we spent each week and spent our money. So eating out has really, we haven't nipped it in the bud, but, you know, we've definitely slowed down on that. So I would say eating out is probably the thing that we have cut out the most.
Pray for me when I'm lonely. Pray for me when I ask God to send
send down a blessing, and I'll do the same when I'm praying for you. We all need love and care, and our name just mentioned in prayer. When the storms trouble life's regency, whether it's morning, noontime, or nighttime, pray for me. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Pray for me.
Pray for me
that I'll be true.
I'll be true.
Ask God to lead me. Ask Him to guide me. And I'll do the same when I'm praying for you. All we can see. Yes, in the bad times, good times, and sad times, pray for me.
Pray for me.
I need the prayers of those I love. You pray for me, and I pray.
With us, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and the stage is bare. By the way, it's available for download or available for ordering, and you can find out more at his website, which I've got to talk about again because I do love your website. I love the way it's laid out. Everything yeah. changes, and right now, you know, a lot of people are saying websites are important, but they're not mm-hmm. the central focal point anymore because of social media. And so, right. I like the way your website is laid out for its simplicity. You don't have mm-hmm. you don't have 3 million menus to scroll through, but you
right.
have a lot of interaction, a lot of good options, and kind of a launch pad for these other social media things. So I really like your site. So people need to go and bookmark it and check back off. And RyanSeaton.com, and they can find that out. It sounds like you're enjoying life. Sounds like you're enjoying your girls and having fun with creativity and the music side of things as well.
Definitely. You know, I'll just be honest with you. First year as a soloist, you know, I just had to just sit down and just really say, God, I need your help right now, because I thought it was going to happen faster. I thought it was going to be easier. And you truly find out, you know, there's just a lot of work involved. And I didn't, you know, to be honest with you, in all fairness to Ernie, we didn't have to do that. You know, everything was taken care of. He did all the administrative work at home. And all we had to do is, you know, basically just show up at the bus and go sing. So now I've kind of had to get my feet wet in all the areas that it takes to run a business. And it's finally getting to a point where Krista and I can just finally sit back and relax a little bit and realize that, you know, it's happening, maybe at a slower pace, but we still believe that this is great music, and I have her complete support in doing things. And sometimes we'll go sometimes 2-3 weeks without a date, but yet, you know, it's just the way it happens. And then the next month I'll have 10 dates, you know, so it's finally getting to the point where we're enjoying it. And of course, you know, getting to spend the summers home with my girls and swimming and getting them ready for school. So it's priceless. So we're very happy with the way things are going.
Ryan Seaton, it's good to hear you again, and good to see you out kind of moving and shaking in the music world, to see this creativity. And the project we've been listening to shows that, because it's not just your cut and dry, oh, I expected this. You know, you kind of get some surprises right along the way. And
oh, yeah.
Have you gotten some good feedback on that part of it?
Absolutely. Well, of course, you know, if you look at our demographics, a lot of our fans are from that era.
Yeah.
And it takes them back. I just recorded a love song album. And I will sing. I mean, I'll sing Then Came the Morning. I'll sing Champion of Love and Pray for Me and all those songs. And those people just sit there. But then I start up with Unforgettable or Till There Was You. And it's like somebody took over their body. And it's like they just woke up. And
yeah.
You know, it's also neat to have people come up and say, you know what, I can remember dancing with my wife to Unforgettable or being out on a date and listening to those great songs. So it's neat to get the feedback. And on the other album, we were a little nervous, you know, because sometimes our fans don't take the change the greatest, but they have really accepted it. And are appreciating the style, and it's nice to know that they accept who I am as an individual, and to know that they're behind me is a great feeling. So, yeah, we've had great response on both the solo projects.
Good job, Ryan. Thanks for taking time to sit with us today and develop this music and keep pushing forward and taking the gospel with you everywhere you go in some unique ways.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time, Dana.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.